Welcome and thank you for standing by. Today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. All participants are in listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session of today's call. At that time, you may press star one to ask a question. I would now like to turn the call over to Lauren Gaches with NOAA Fisheries. Thank you. You may begin.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining NOAA's media teleconference on the 2021 Status of the Stocks Report and Update to the Fisheries of the United States Report. Our press release with links to both of these reports is now available on NOAA.gov in the newsroom. Joining me today are our speakers, Janet Coit, Assistant Administrator for NOAA Fisheries and NOAA's Acting Assistant Secretary for Oceans and Atmosphere, and Kelly Dennett, Director of NOAA Fisheries Office of Sustainable Fisheries. With that, I'd like to welcome Janet, who is joining us for the opening of today's call.
Thank you, Lauren. Good morning to everyone who has joined us today. As the head of NOAA Fisheries, ensuring productive and sustainable fisheries and providing safe sources of seafood are among my top priorities for the agency. Today's Status of the Stocks and Fisheries of the U.S. reports provide two sets of data and information that are so important to our mission. They help track our progress towards rebuilding fish stocks and in regard to the broader economic impact of marine fisheries nationally. It's important to note up front that across NOAA and across the country, we're confronting the challenge of understanding and mitigating the impacts of climate change on our coastal and marine resources, all while trying to build healthier and more resilient ecosystems to support a climate-ready nation. Today, we're releasing the annual Status of the Stocks report, which highlights our efforts to manage more than 460 U.S. fisheries. This year, improved methodologies here at NOAA Fisheries, updated stock assessments, and innovative tools helped provide new information to inform fisheries management in the face of climate change. And for the first time, our Fisheries of the United States data are now available in a new interactive web portal. The portal delivers a detailed look at the economic analyses of seafood consumption, landing totals, and imports and exports of fishery products in the U.S. In April, we also shared a new tool to better track the location and movement of marine fish and invertebrate species in the U.S. waters. That tool, which is a really cool visualization, shows how species may be shifting, expanding, or contracting in response to changes in ocean conditions. The latest data in the Fisheries of the U.S. report come from 2020 as we work to catch up on the disrupted flow of data that was impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. We anticipate having updates to this data throughout the coming year. The 2020 report shows the value of U.S. commercial fisheries landings, including aquaculture production, remained strong at $4.8 billion in 2020, which has a broad positive impact on the U.S. economy. And now to more numbers. So in 2020, commercial fishermen landed 8.4 billion pounds, valued at $4.8 billion. This does represent a 10% decrease in commercial fisheries landings and a 15% decrease in value as compared to 2019. These decreases are consistent with our expectations because of the disruption and the impacts of COVID-19, as well as storm impacts in the Gulf of Mexico. The estimate for U.S. per capita consumption of seafood products declined overall to 19 pounds from 19.3 pounds in 2019. We know the USDA's dietary guidelines for Americans recommend that people eat 2 4-ounce servings of seafood each week. That equates to about 26 pounds per year for an individual. The nation's largest volume commercial fishery remained Alaska pollock in 2020, and the highest value species groups were crabs, lobsters, scallops, salmon, shrimp, and Alaska pollock. U.S. ports remain an important part of our vibrant and resilient coastal communities. For the 24th consecutive year, Dutch Harbor, Alaska was the port with the highest volume of landed seafood. And for the 21st year, New Bedford, Massachusetts was the port with the highest valued catch in the nation. Saltwater recreational fishing is also highlighted. It's among the nation's favorite pastimes, and it's a key contributor to the national economy, with anglers taking nearly 200 million trips in 2020. U.S. fisheries remain among the world's largest and most sustainable, thanks in large part to the science-based framework of the Magnuson-Stevens Act and the work of our regional fishery management councils, partners, industry, and fishing communities. One of the greatest challenges to productive and sustainable fisheries and thriving coastal communities is climate change. Warming waters have already led to rapid shifts in fish species distribution and have impacted whole fishing communities. The path forward for the U.S. includes working responsibly to decarbonize our energy supply and to promote renewable energies while looking out for marine resources. So measuring the impacts and developing strategies that will help communities, businesses, and resource managers prepare for climate change, that's a top priority at NOAA Fisheries as we envision building a more climate-ready nation. Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak with you today. Thanks for joining us. I will now turn the floor over to Kelly Dennett, our Director of the Office of Sustainable Fisheries here at NOAA.
Great. Thank you, Janet, for that warm welcome, and thank you all for being here to hear the latest information on our Status of Stocks report for 2021. This report is conducted annually to provide a snapshot of the status of our nation's fisheries. Just some background as we get started. If a stock is listed on the overfishing list, that means that the annual catch rate is too high. And if a stock is listed on the overfished list, that means that the population size is too low, whether due to fishing or other causes. Data from our 2021 Status of Stocks report shows U.S. fisheries held steady, with more than 90% not experiencing overfishing and 80% of our stocks not overfished. The number of stocks on the overfishing list also held steady at 26, and overfished stocks increased slightly from 49 to 51. As Janet mentioned, our data reveals that in 2020, landings of fish in the U.S. were down 10%, largely driven by COVID impacts. And overall, seafood consumption slightly decreased from the previous year. In fiscal year 2021, we conducted 170 stock assessments, including the first ever assessment of Atlantic black-tip shark. Our scientists found that stock is not experiencing overfishing, not overfished, and at sustainable levels. These new stock assessments significantly contribute to science-based information that we use to set appropriate management measures for stocks throughout the country. Zooming back out to the big picture, our efforts have resulted in 47 stocks being rebuilt since 2000. Managing our fisheries sustainably is an adaptive process that requires sound science, innovative management approaches, effective enforcement, meaningful partnerships, and robust public participation. In partnership with the Regional Fishery Management Councils and Interstate Fisheries Commissions, our dynamic science-based management process is proving successful at ending overfishing and rebuilding stocks. Climate change impacts every corner of our science-based conservation and management mission, from managing sustainable fisheries and aquaculture to our efforts to conserve protected resources and habitats. Our nation's fisheries and the aquaculture industry are crucial to both global food security and ocean sustainability. Maintaining sustainable fisheries contributes significantly to the U.S. economy and helps meet the growing challenge of increasing our nation's seafood supply. By ending overfishing and rebuilding stocks, we are strengthening the value of U.S. fisheries to the economy, our communities, and to the marine ecosystem at large. And with that, I'll turn it back over to you, Lauren.
Thank you so much, Kelly. We will now take specific questions about the reports from call participants. The operator momentarily will give you guidance about how to put a question into the queue. For this portion of the call, we do have additional subject matter experts on the line to speak to those reports in addition to Kelly. We also have Karen Green, Fishery Management Specialist from the Office of Sustainable Fisheries, Michael Liddell, Branch Chief for Commercial Fishery Statistics from the Office of Science and Technology, and Melissa Carp, Project Lead of the Distribution Mapping and Analysis Portal that Janet mentioned from the Office of Science and Technology. For our reporters, please be sure to identify, if you know, who you might like to answer your question, and I would ask for your patience as it can take a few moments for our questions to come in. Operator, if you would, please remind our call participants how they can get into the queue to ask a question.
Absolutely. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1, unmute your phone, and record your name. If you would like to withdraw your question, you can press star 2. And again, to ask a question, press star 1, and we'll wait till the questions come in. Our Our first question comes from Patrick Whittle of the Associated Press. Patrick, your line is open.
Yeah, thank you very much. Two things. Could you speak a little bit to what were some of the specific factors that caused the decrease in volume and value this year stemming from the COVID-19 pandemic? And is there any more information about the decision to list, I believe it's Bering Sea snow crab, on the overfished list? And if you could identify yourself before you speak, that would be great.
Hi, this is Michael Waddell. I'll take the first part of that. And I just want to say that, yes, they were, the stocks were down and there was a decline. And it came from a broad range of factors. It was fishery closures, boats not going out due to COVID, and border closings due to COVID. Lots of disruption in the flow of goods and services. That was one of the major impacts from it. Just it was a large amount of disruption that we saw throughout everyday life at the beginning of the pandemic had a substantial impact on people's ability to conduct their business. Also, in the Gulf, there were several storms and hurricanes which impacted landings there and the ability to get out to fish. I'll let Kelly handle the other question.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Michael. Hi, Patrick. With respect to Bering Sea snow crab, that abundance has dropped by more than 50% in the past 2 years, and therefore that stock is now overfished. Our scientists hypothesize that that decline could be caused by disease, predation by Pacific cod, or possibly movement outside of the survey area into deeper waters, which are colder.
Thank you. Can we take our next question?
Our next question comes from Mark Sabatini from the Juneau Empire. Mark, your line is open.
Hi. Since two things that were said early was Dutch Harbor for the 24th year, if I had that right, had the largest volume of landed seafood, and you talked about the impacts of climate change. To cite Alaska as a region, possibly an example, while Dutch Harbor did well, some areas had wildly awful years. In other words, it was amazingly inconsistent, and climate was cited as the reason for a lot. Can you talk about how much variance there was in this particular region and the causes, if climate was indeed that cause? Is anybody there?
Michael, are you able to speak to the statistics for Dutch Harbor?
Well, not just for Dutch Harbor, for Alaska, the variances. In other words, you talked about climate change having to factor that in, and given that Dutch Harbor did well, but other parts of this particular region did just dismally, I'm curious if you can look at that and say there was this factor or that factor that was the reason, because it wasn't just the usual level of inconsistency. It was a bit like the weather. It was pretty extreme.
At this point, we can't separate out what might have been the causes. There were a lot of issues going on together. I can look. I'm happy to get back to you on that and provide some more information on the what the variance was. Fisheries
okay.
In the U.S. in general does not speak to the causes, as it just reports what the results were. But I'm happy to get back to you. More information.
Sorry, but very quick thing. Were these inconsistencies seen nationwide?
There was a lot of variability nationwide, yes. Some things were up, some things were down as usual, but it was a nationwide impact.
And I mean beyond the normal.
The overall trend was down in all states and all species. We are going to, that's mostly attributable to a decrease in effort due to COVID-19 impacts. There were some things that were up. California market squid was up 22 million pounds. Yellowfin sole was up 5%, 15 million pounds. Snow crab did continue an upward trend, up 23%, 6 million pounds. So there were some things that were up, but overall, it was trends were down.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Kevin Allen of KINY Radio. Kevin, your line is open.
Thank you. So the question I have is about the Alaska cod and pollock. I see that there were some new modeling methods that have been developed to predict how marine heat waves could impact those fish stocks. Could someone speak more to that? And as the other gentleman mentioned, could you please identify yourself before you answer?
Kevin, I'm not sure that we have the right expert necessarily to speak to the marine heat wave model question. This is Lauren. I'll be happy to follow up with you on that particular one offline.
Well, then could you speak to the amount of pollock and cod caught within this report? Speak more to that.
Michael, is that data you have access to handy, or is it something we'd have to dig into further?
Or total pollock landed? Is that what you're looking for?
Yes.
I can find that in a minute. If you're looking more specifically about Dutch Harbor was the highest volume of seafood that landed, 800 million pounds, valued at 186 million. Pollock made up 92.1% of that and 52% of the value. So I'd have to look up the specific numbers for you. Snow crab in Dutch Harbor was accounted for an additional 34% of the value and 2.1% of the volume. But if you're looking for more specific numbers, I'd have to get back to you.
Yes, and I'd appreciate the modeling on marine heat waves as well. So thank you very much.
There are currently no other questions in the queue. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1.
This is Lauren Gacious again. Seeing no additional questions, I think we'll move forward and we'll wrap today's call. I want to again thank today's speakers, Janet Coit, Kelly Dennett, as well as Karen Green, Michael Liddell, and Melissa Karp. An audio file of today's call will be made available online on the press release for today's announcement on NOAA.gov sometime this afternoon. And finally, if you do have any follow-up questions, please contact me, Lauren Gacious, at 202-740-8314. Again, 202-740-8314. Or our public affairs inbox, NMFS for National Marine Fisheries Service, .PA for public affairs at NOAA.gov. And that concludes today's call. Thank you so much.
That concludes today's call. Thank you for participating. You may disconnect at this time.